to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight, we're continuing in the studies we've been doing, and we're only going to do maybe another couple of them, but on how we can use God's word to guide our prayers. It's been very practical, and we've actually been practicing it because we finished the lesson early enough that we can actually pray for a little while before we leave here and put into practice what we've learned. We started out by talking about praying God's word. How do we take God's word, whether it includes a prayer or if it doesn't include a prayer? We meditate on it, ask questions of it, and how it applies to our lives, and we turn that into a way of praying God's word for our lives, which, if we do it right, is also praying God's will for our lives. And we know the Bible says that when we pray God's will, God hears and God answers, okay? Of course, God always answers, but sometimes it's no, or later, or whatever. So I hope that this series has been very beneficial to you. We've used some Old Testament prayers. We've used some of Paul's prayers. Tonight, we're going to shift gears just a little bit because we're going to talk about a certain topic. And rather than a prayer about that topic, we are going to be looking at a specific passage that deals with that topic and learn how we can meditate on that and then pray that to see it happen in our lives. And that topic is maturity. So the title of the lesson tonight is Praying for Maturity. Now, we could all come up with a list of people that we think we should pray that they would mature. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the purpose or intent of this. The purpose is that God would help us to mature. Okay? There's a preacher I like to listen to. He says, just remember whenever you read God's word and you hear it preached and taught, it's not just supposed to be used as binoculars to look at other people's lives, but a microscope to look at your own, okay? So keep that. There's a good balance between the two. So we're going to be talking about praying for maturity. What does maturity mean? What comes to your mind when you hear the word or think of the concept of maturity? What? Growth. Okay, there's positive progress. That's what we think of growth, okay? Any other thoughts that come to mind? Vita? Becoming more wise. Yes, definitely. That's a good part of it. Okay, learning how to handle situations in a better way. There's a lot of things that go along with that. Yeah, Chris? You're ready to be martyred? Well, I don't know what the relationship is between maturity and martyrdom, but I'm sure there is something that is there. Yeah, you got to be ready. The more mature we are, maybe the more ready we'll be. Could be. Some people think of maturity as old people, you know, and that's kind of a misconception. I've known some older people, none in this room, just so you know, who are not very mature. And I've known some younger people that are very mature. Maturity does not actually equal age necessarily, although we should be getting more and more mature the older we get. According to the definition, to be mature means to reach full development, okay? What do we mean when we talk about reaching maturity in Christian life? What would maybe be a goal or a desire that we would achieve or work toward if we're working toward maturity in our Christian lives? To be all that God has called us to be. And I like that, not only that He's called us to be, but He's created us to be, which are the same thing, obviously. But, okay, what other goals or thoughts do you have when you think of Christian maturity? Yes. Okay, living in obedience to God. Having more what?
Faith.
Having more faith, growing in faith. Faith comes from maturity. There's a lot of association there. I think of becoming more and more like Jesus, you know, becoming more and more like God. Now, that sounds kind of weird, but I mean, you know, godliness means becoming more like God's character traits that we as humans can have. There's some character traits that God have we will never have. Because He's God. But there are other things that we can have. So becoming more like God, becoming more godly, becoming more Christ-like, okay? It's all part of maturity. Now, a lot of things can add to maturity, but as we're looking at this topic tonight, praying for maturity, what part does prayer play in growing to maturity? I mean, if becoming more mature as a Christian means becoming more like Jesus, more like God, doing all he's called us to do, becoming all he's called us to, that sounds a lot like choices in doing stuff. So what part does prayer play in becoming mature? Vita? Okay, being totally and completely dependent on the Holy Spirit, on his guidance, and you didn't mention this, but his power. Because how many of us are able to be just like Jesus in our own strength? Nobody, right? And so, you know, prayer connects us with God's work in our lives through the Holy Spirit and his power that's available to us. And you mentioned wisdom earlier. How do we get God's wisdom? We pray and ask, and God gives. You know, James says, if you lack wisdom, pray and ask. So prayer plays a very important part in growing to maturity. All right. So we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. And again, this is not one of Paul's prayers, but it's a passage where he talks about maturity, and there's so much stuff in here that we can pray about our own maturity, and if God leads us to, about the maturity of others. But again, you know, I've got this philosophy, I've got this thought that I don't ever want to pray for somebody else something I'm not willing to pray for myself. That kind of helps me have a better attitude. I see somebody and that really, maybe there's some frustrating, or it's like, oh, why did they do that? Right, God, would you help them? And say, well, God, help me too. You know, it kind of helps me keep my attitude in check, you know. But anyway, we can pray for other people's maturity, but again, we're focused on our maturity, all right? And so we're going to be working our way through Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. And let me just tell you, there's a lot of stuff on your note sheet. We may not get all the way through having good discussion, taking all our time, and still have time to pray at the end. So if we get to a certain time and we've gotten only a certain distance, I'm going to fill in the blanks for the rest of you really quick so we can apply it. But I think that by the time we work through the first part of it, at least you'll get the idea of the principles I'm trying to give you of how we can take this passage, meditate on it, and then be able to pray it, okay? All right, so I do have a statement there before we get to certain prayer requests that characterizes this passage, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. That statement on your note sheet is this: in Christ, we have died to our old life and have been raised to new one. In Christ, we have died to our old life and have been raised to a new one. There's a lot of scriptures. I didn't bother putting in a note sheet because there's so many about how when Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to new life, that became what happens to us when we commit our lives to Christ. We die to our old life, and we are raised to a new life. That's what symbolizes what baptism, one of the things that baptism symbolizes. We see this in Colossians 3, 1 to 4. So we're going to read this in sections, so we'll jump right in there. It says, Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. All right? So in Christ, we have died to our old life and have been raised to a new one, and we are called to live up to what God says we are and what we will be. Okay? Now, I have come up out of these verses with 10 specific requests. You could have come up with different ones. You might have grouped them differently, whatever. Just to give us an idea of how we take the truths of this text and we can pray them. All right? So let's take a look at these. The first one is this: Father, help me live for eternity, not just this life. Father, help me live for eternity and not just this life. By the way, each of these is a statement that's a prayer in and of itself. But the idea is you would take the passage, you would meditate on it and put it in your own words. We have as the basis for this the verses I just read, Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. He says, you know, we've been raised with Christ, so since that's the case, let's keep our minds and our thoughts on things that are above, not just this life. I know he says, set your minds on things above, not on things that are on this earth. He's not saying you should ignore this earth. As that old saying says, he says, to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Okay, I usually have a problem with the opposite. We're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. All right, I think the more we're truly heavenly minded, we'll be more earthly good. But we need to be focused on eternal things. Okay, Now, what can help us do that? What can help us live for eternity and not just this life? Keeping our eyes on God. And that's one of the ways that prayer becomes a part of that, right? Because that's one of the ways we keep our eyes on God, is by praying. Any other thoughts that come to mind? How we can live for eternity and not just this life? Dorothy? Staying in the Word. Yep. And as we've been talking about in this whole series, that when we are in the Word, we don't just read it. We definitely want to meditate on it, which means thinking about it and how does it apply to me, and then taking that extra step of praying about it. Okay, Chris? Yeah, and when we keep in mind that everybody that we come in contact with, you said everybody we see, but everybody we come in contact with is someone that God loves and needs Jesus if they don't already have Jesus. So when we talk about this, Father, help me live for eternity, not just this life. What helps us is to focus our thoughts on eternal truths, and not just our thoughts, but our prayers. All right? We need to put heaven's priorities into daily practice. The second one I have down here is, Father, help me, and I got this in quotes, put to death sinful thoughts, attitudes, and actions. Father, help me put to death sinful thoughts, attitudes, and actions. And we see this in a number of verses here, verses 5 through 9. He says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And by earthly, it means those things that are sinful, those things that are contrary to God and contrary to godliness and what's eternal. So put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Now stop right there. So all these things is a list, and Paul loves making lists. Making lists of things that were part of our old life that really should not have a part in our life now, but they're things that we can wrestle with. And he likes to make a list of positive things, things that should be part of our lives and should be growing and maturing. And that's going to be the next point anyway, and we'll get to that in a moment. So, Father, help me put to death sinful thoughts, attitudes, and actions. But we don't need to stop there. That's just the principle. Because we can pray that all day long and nothing ever changed. We need to get to the nitty-gritty of our lives and what is in our lives that doesn't belong there. That's one of the reasons Paul makes these lists. And these lists are not exclusive, you know. But the idea would be that we would go through these lists, make sure we understand what Paul's talking about, and look at our own lives. Is this in my life? To what degree is this in my life? Okay? So, as we think about the fact that we all have a sinful human nature, and God's called us to live a godly life and to leave those things behind, what are some specific things that we could or should pray for? Anybody? What? Proper ways to communicate with other people? Yeah. How we deal with other people? Mm-hmm. Several of these things have to do with our dealings with other people. Yeah. That's right. And what you just said gave a good long list of three or four things. And so I'm going to try to summarize those for the recording for those that are listening to you later. And that is that, you know, we have to be wanting to change. And so sometimes we're going to say, Lord, help me to want to change. Have you ever had to pray that? It's like, well, I know this isn't right, but my flesh just revels in it too much. So help me to want to change. But then we also have to ask for God's help because we can't change it by ourselves. And then what you started off with is that, God, help my thoughts. Help me to get my thoughts in the right place. Okay, and Lord, give me the power of your Holy Spirit. So, yeah, Chris. Yeah, we need to pray for God's protection and strength, because just being in the world, workplace, school, wherever we go. Okay, let me give you the subpoints I put on here. The first one is this, Father, help me to see the truth about myself. We really need to pray this, because we are really good about denying that we have issues, or excusing them, right? And one of our favorite is, well, I may struggle with that a little bit, but at least I'm not as bad as, okay? And there is one time it's a good thing to say that. When you can say, at least I'm not as bad as I was last year. Thank you, Lord, but I'm not where I need to be yet. So help me not to deny it or excuse it. Help me to get better, okay? But we do need to do that. Lord, help me to see the truth about myself. Because it'd be very easy to gloss over our problems, our willingness to give into our sinful flesh. Okay, we need to be honest in our self-examination. The second bullet point, Father, forgive me for my blank. Father, forgive me. What goes in the blank? Whatever you're wrestling with. Okay, so you go through this list and you say, God, forgive me for those thoughts that I allow to go the wrong place. God, forgive me for those things I'm passionate about that are not right. God, forgive me for any evil desires, and don't just, you know, look and see. God, forgive me for those times that I covet. I want what that other person has. God, forgive me for my anger that's unrighteous, for my wrath, for when I slander, for the talk that comes out of my mouth that really shouldn't come out of my mouth. God, forgive me for that time I lied. Now, I'm not confessing right now. I'm reading Paul's writings, okay? Just so you know, okay? But that's the whole point. You read through the passage and say, God, how does this particular thing apply to me? Where, help me to be honest, Lord. Do I see a sign of this in my life? Well, Lord, forgive me for that, okay? And then, yes, Vita.
Secret flaws. Mm-hmm.
The secret sins. Mm-hmm. That's right. We've got to be aware of those things. Then the third bullet point is God, Father, help me with my blank. And again, the same thing goes in there. Lord, okay, I have I'm not confessing, I'm using an example. Lord, I'm having a hard time being totally honest in this situation. Forgive me and help me. Help me to be honest when I'm tempted to be dishonest. Help me to watch my thoughts, Lord God. Help me to be careful where I go on the internet. I mean, the internet's not in this list of Paul's, but if Paul lived today, it'd be right there in the middle, okay, with all caps, all right? So, help me to see the truth about myself, forgive me for whatever it is you're dealing with, and help me with that, all right? Let's go on to number three. Father, help me to, quote, clothe myself with godly thoughts, attitudes, and actions. We see this in verses 10 to 13. After he goes through these negative things, let me just back up to verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. And let me just stop here. Here's a picture Paul's using, and he uses it in a couple of different places. Kind of like you've been out working in the yard. You've gotten all dirty, nasty, sweaty. You come in the house. You take off the old clothes. You clean yourself up, and you put on new clothes. That's what we're looking at. We're leaving that old life behind. We got to get rid of all that junk, get all cleaned up. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Now put on the new stuff, okay? And that's why I use this word, Father, help me clothe myself with godly thoughts, attitudes, and actions. So going on, we've put on the new self, verse 12, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Look at that part, that it's being. It's going to be a lifelong process, but we're being renewed in the image of our creator. That's where we get, where we're going to be more like God, being more like Jesus, in the image of Jesus, okay? He goes on, verse 11, just saying that we're all in the midst of this together. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Then in verse 12, we get into the specifics. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. And so you must also forgive. Okay. Should have actually gone through 14. Well, I did 14 separate. Okay. It just says, talks about putting on love, which binds it all together. We'll get to that in a minute. So here's a short list. Paul makes other lists, has other things. In fact, in the conclusion at the bottom of your note sheet, it lists two other passages. There's more than that, that also that contain lists of things that Paul says that we should avoid or bring into our lives. One of them in Galatians talks about the works of the flesh. We pray against those in our lives versus the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Okay. And then there's also a passage in there from Ephesians where Paul has similar lists. So, Father, help me clothe myself with godly thoughts, attitudes, and actions. And again, not just praying that, it's like, God, help me be godly. But we look at what the Word of God says, what that means. Okay? We want to be renewed after the image of our Creator. So The two subpoints here are similar to the ones above. Father, help me to be more blank. You work your way through this passage. Let's say you're reading this in your devotions, or you're going to a prayer time. I'm going to use this to say, well, it says here in verse 12, compassionate hearts. Lord, how compassionate am I? Have a conversation with God. Where do I see compassion in my life? Lord, I thank you that you helped me to be compassionate to that person. But where am I struggling with compassion? Who am I struggling to be compassionate toward? And you pray about that. So, Lord, help me to be more compassionate. All right? Kindness. Lord, am I a kind person? To some people, maybe. Who am I not kind to? You know, so these become conversations. Meekness, patience. None of us struggle with patience, so we can skip that one. We're joking about that one. Bearing with one another. Some people it's easy to bear with. Some people it's hard. Forgiving each other. Lord, who do I need to forgive? Okay. So, and again, there's other character traits, but Lord, help me to be more of that. Okay. But can I say, we're going to get to thanking God later, but when you come across a character trait and you say, well, I don't struggle too much with that, pause and say, Lord, help me to be honest. First of all, do I really not struggle with it? But if I can honestly say, I really don't struggle with it, just pause and say, God, thank you that I'm making progress in that area. Thank you, because I'm a whole lot more patient with my spouse than I used to be, or whoever it was, okay? So take the time to do that. The second bullet point, Father, show me who I need to treat differently and how. Again, for each of these character traits, Lord, who do I need to be kinder to, and how do I need to show that, all right? Okay. Number four, Father, help me to see myself as you see me, chosen, holy, and loved. I almost skipped this one. I thought, no, this is powerful. Verse 12, we already read it. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. We need to pause there. God sees us as chosen. He chose us. He already sees us as holy. How can he see us as holy? Because we have Christ's holiness and Christ's righteousness. He sees us as loved. All right. What difference does pausing, meditating on this, and seeing how God sees us, what difference does this make in us becoming mature? How does this help us in the idea of becoming mature? Any thoughts? Vita? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's all part of our relationship with God, seeing how he sees us and us seeing how he is, okay? So how does, when we realize that he sees us, no matter how we see him, but that he sees us as worthy to be chosen, being loved, how does that help us mature? Or how can it help us mature? Kathy? Okay. It can help us to stop struggling so much. Okay. It increases our faith, and it helps get rid of the barriers we may feel are between us and God. Okay. How about the idea that people have a tendency to live up to what other people tell them or believe about them? I mean, haven't we all heard that as parents or grandparents, whether we live by it or not? Don't tell your kids or grandkids, you're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. And I hope that doesn't bring about any painful memories, because maybe you were raised in a home where you were told things like that. Children, many times, that are told things like that, they live up to it, or live down to it, if you want to put it that way. But when you got people speaking in your life, I believe in you. You know what? God's got it, you know, whatever. This is a good piece of advice just for our relationship with each other, to be there to encourage one another. But when we know that God looks at us and he loves us and he chose us, okay? And he sees us as being holy because of what Jesus did, but also because of the potential we have with the power of his Holy Spirit, okay? And so that's something we pray, Lord, help me to see that. Help me to understand that. Help me to believe that. And then that will help us to mature. Number five, Father, help me to truly love others. Help me to truly love others. Verse 14, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Okay? Help me to truly love others. And again, this is where we stop and think about, okay, who do I love? Okay, Lord, help me to be even more loving. Lord, who do I struggle to love and why? And what can I do about that? What should I do about that? See, we're meditating on this idea of loving others. Who do I love? Well, that's great. And again, to have some things, Lord, who do I love better now than I used to? Thank you, Lord, that I'm making some progress. Who do I struggle loving? Why? What can I do about that? How can I demonstrate your love to that person? Okay? Number six, we're going to move a little faster. Father, help me to be guided by peace. Help me to be guided by peace. We get that from verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were, and to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We need to look at we're already looking at our relationships, but examine your relationship. In which do you not have peace? It says here, we should be, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. This isn't just talking about inner peace. It's talking about peace with other people. So where am I struggling to be at peace with others? I know a lot of these things are all tied together because it has to do with forgiveness. It can have to do with the fact we need to have patience. We need to bear with one another. But again, peace is a different word that we can meditate on and says, Lord, where is it that I don't have peace? And I want to be guided by peace. So what can I do? And I didn't put in your notes yet. I just happened to think of it. In Romans, Paul says, as much as is possible for you, live at peace with everybody. So you may pray about it and say, God, I am doing everything I know to do. If there's something else I can do, show me what it is and I'll do it so I can live at peace with that person. But if I've done everything I can, help me to continue to love them and stuff. And Lord, may they come to a place of peace, that we can be at peace together. All right. Number seven, Father, help me to be infused by your word. I like that word infused. It means to be soaked. It means to, you know, anyway. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So the first part of that, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I love that word dwell. It means to be at home. Is God's word at home in your heart? Now, that doesn't mean in the sense that you're open to it coming in, but that you welcome it and you have brought it in. It has a place. For that to happen, what has to happen? You got to take time in God's word. You got to read it. You got to meditate it. Meditate on it. Okay? You got to spend some time in it. All right? And keep in mind, this is not just for our benefit. It's so we can help others. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. I just really encourage you, anytime you're spending time in God's word and God just gives you a really good nugget, share it with people. He may have given it for you, but he may have given it more to you for somebody else. Okay? So help me to be infused by your word. And a lot of things you can pray. The Lord, give me greater understanding of your word. You know, give me a greater desire to spend time in your word. Lots of things that'll fit there. Number eight, Father, help me to worship you meaningfully. Second half of verse 16, right after, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Okay? I just really encourage you, as you spend time with God, we're talking about praying God's word, you come across something like this, just stop and say, Lord, I just praise you. I just worship you. Just sing to yourself. You know, you probably sound better singing when you're by yourself than you do around other people anyway. You know, that's the way it is for me anyway. You know, you may have to get into the shower. Everybody sounds better in the shower. I don't know, but I've heard that. Anyway, you know, I've known many people that love to make the singing of songs, psalms, hymns, choruses a part of their daily devotions. They spend time reading God's word, they pray, and they sing. It's a good thing. If you've never tried it, try it, okay? Number nine, Father, help me to be thankful. Thankful. Verses 15 to 17, see how many times the word thanks, thanksgiving, thankful is in there. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul loves the idea of thanksgiving. And I'm not talking about the big turkey dinner. All right. Thankfulness. I've already mentioned this several times going through here, that we can pause and be thankful. Lord, thank you that I'm making progress in this area. Lord, thank you that this, that, and the other. But take the time to be thankful. Okay? You're reading this through, you're praying, you could stop right here and spend 10 minutes just thanking God for all the things that He's done and He is doing and all that kind of stuff. Number 10, the last one. Father, help me to represent Jesus well. Help me to represent Jesus well. We've already talked about the fact that He wants us to be renewed in His image. Okay, verse 10. But verse 17 says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, in word or deed. So examine your words, your actions. Are they Christ-like? Are they not? In what areas are you struggling to be Christ-like? In what you say and in what you do? And then you pray about that. Lord, help me to be more like Jesus. You know, when I come across this situation. Lord, help me to be more like Jesus. You know, help people to see Jesus in me. Okay? And again, that's something you can draw from this. So, as I said on your conclusion, there are other helpful passages about maturity that you can pray through. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 26. That's the one that talks about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, the very beginning, verse 1, all the way through chapter 5, verse 20. You're talking a whole chapter and a half. All of that is about maturity. Okay? You can just pray your way right on through that. Meditating, I mean, you could take several days to do that. All right? So that's another example, talking specifically about maturity, that we can take a passage of God's Word, read it, meditate on it, ask questions about it, say, how does this apply to my life? Positive way, negative way, and pray and ask God to help us to grow and to mature. So we're going to do what we've been doing. It's about 17 after, so we're going to take about 18 after now, 6 or 7 minutes, and I encourage you to apply this. Don't just sit there and say, okay, after 6 or 7 minutes, He's going to come back and we can finish up. No, let's do this. Work your way through this passage. Pray about those things God lays on your heart and make it your goal that after 6 or 7 minutes, you're going to be more mature or headed down the path of being more mature than you were when you got here tonight, okay? So I'll come back in about 6 minutes or so. All right, it's been about 6 minutes. Don't know how far along you got, but I want to invite you to stand. And let's close the way we've been doing when we have enough time, and we do tonight. And if you'd like to, unless you're just really enjoying being you and Jesus by yourself, that's fine. Get with another person. Pray for each other. Maybe two other people. I wouldn't get too big of a group, or you won't really have time to pray for one another. But whenever you're done praying together with some other people, then we're done. All right? God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.